Indeed, we are here because of that wonderful story of love.
I want to say how thankful I am.
Thankful that Noah was willing to cover for Mike. What a wonderful job you did. Just wonderful words. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work. Thankfully, you allowed me and my wife to have the time to go to Florida and to enjoy the lectures. It's always good for preachers to hear other preachers. And this year I had the extra benefit of being one of the speakers, so I was one of the preachers that preachers get to hear. So it was a lot of fun. I was also asked to preach at the North Boulevard congregation, where Travis is attending while he's out there, and we're just so excited for him. Just a wonderful congregation, and they really didn't know who I was, but they knew I was a preacher, and so they invited me to preach and took that gamble, and I hope it paid off. One note that I forgot to mention to Phil, the announcements, or to Robert, is Christine Kircheville has a great-granddaughter, Brent Kircheville's daughter, him and his wife. She just had yesterday a very serious procedure. I'm not exactly sure all of what's going on with her, but the procedure went well. There's some more things they're looking at, so keep Christine's great-granddaughter, Brent Kircheville's daughter, in your prayers. This week I'll try to get more information and send out an email and to have it for the bulletin as well. This morning we're going to get back into our marriage improvement series about the language of love and respect. And so we're going to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to add another component to this. But I want to start, if you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, where it all began. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be reading in verse 18. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone, and I will help make him a helper suitable for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called them, the living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep the deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And when he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And God said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, the reaction of the man in verse 23 is one of excitement, one of love. It is love at first sight. And because of his reaction, God says, verse 24, "For this reason I set in order what comes to be known even today as marriage." And so, even though Adam didn't necessarily choose his wife, and though many in the Bible had their wife chosen for them, nonetheless, Adam was excited. Adam said, "Yes, I will marry this woman." Adam loved Eve. As I said, it was love at first sight. And so, no matter how you perceive your marriage, whether you're going to be honest with yourself and said, "Yes, me and my spouse, we do have trouble communicating. And it has led to several fights and problem areas." Or if you're here this morning saying, "No, things are good and we have worked on our communication."
we should all be willing to look at these things and be willing to try them, because, well, as far as I know, we all got to choose our spouse. We all got to propose, or we all got to say, I do. And we did it because of love, and that's what love does. Love says, because I love you, I'm willing to even work on this even more. And I hope that that will be all of our desire here. And so we're going to talk about how to better communicate. We talked last time about the basics of communication, that obviously, basically, you have this speaker, and the speaker is, in essence, in control. He has the floor. He or she has something that they're going to say, but being a speaker doesn't work unless you have a listener. And we talked about, in the basic sense, the listener has an important role, maybe even a harder role, in that it's the submissive role. That they're doing their job trying to receive this message, trying to receive what the speaker is wanting to say. And so the speaker has an important responsibility that they try to deliver what we call the message. And as we talked about last time, several reasons why communication breaks down. And as we talk about this, we are talking about it in the context of marriage. But if you're not married, if you're one of those people who's like, I'm never going to get married, well, this is stuff that will also apply to any relationship. It will apply to relationships at work, friendships, acquaintances. It will work within the family between the parent and the child. Anywhere there is a relationship where there is communication. So we talked last time that sometimes the speaker is the reason why communication breaks down. A speaker that doesn't care about the listener is not going to be a good communicator. And unfortunately, there are people like that. The people that like to hear themselves speak. And so they have become the speaker and the listener. People who just want to speak because it makes them feel better. But the problem is they don't care about the listener. They don't care if the listener is getting the message. They just want to speak and speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. And it's not good communication. And it really is not communication at all, other than they're speaking to themselves. And I guess if that makes them feel good, that's something. But what about the listener? So to be a good speaker, you have to care about the listener and try to do your best to get the message across in a way that makes the job for the listener an easy one. But sometimes communication breaks down because, well, the listener doesn't really care about the speaker. And so they're not going to really take their job seriously. They're not really going to listen. And that's a very common reason why communication breaks down. But in our context of marriage and trying to improve communication, what we would like to say is that that's not really the reason we're looking at. Now, that could be in your marriage why it's breaking down. And we're going to talk about this morning what happens, what can happen, what often does happen when communication breaks down. But like we talked about in this language of love, these five love languages, oftentimes they're trying to communicate love. It's not that they're not trying to communicate love, but they're just missing each other. They're missing the mark. They're speaking from a different language. And that's what happens oftentimes in marriage. It's not that the speaker doesn't care about the listener. The wife doesn't care about they do care about each other. It's not that the listener doesn't want to receive the message. It's just that we're missing the mark. We're communicating differently. But good communication is where the speaker tries his best because he cares about the listener. The listener tries his best because he cares about the speaker. And then what happens, you have the reverse. The listener becomes the speaker becomes the listener. And that's when you really have great communication, where you can go back and forth and back and forth, and you're understanding everything. But like I said, it breaks down a lot of times because men and women are different. We just read about it in Genesis chapter 2. God made a woman to be a helper to the man. And to help the man, it would not be any help for God to create a woman to be just like the man. And if you haven't figured it out, that's a big problem with the feminist movement today. They want women to be like men. That's not what God created them to be. And somehow, the whole idea is that women will be like men and then show themselves to be better than men. Well, that's not what God intended. They've missed the mark completely. And so, women are different from men because that's what we need. We need women to help us where we're not so good. And I've often talked about this. Are women better than men? Yes, in some things. Are men better than women? Yes, in some things. That's the way it works. We help fill, as Rocky says, those gaps. So women speak a language of love. A woman wants to be spoken, and when you speak to a woman, she wants to hear in those words love and care and concern. And that's what Dr. Igret says is the book we're kind of using as a premise of this. And I think it's a big point why in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells husbands twice, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Verse 28, husbands, love your wives as you love your own bodies. Husbands are told to communicate and to love their wives, to communicate in that love. But we know as well, it's not just the language of love that women thrive on, but giving us a little tool to hold on to, Dr. Igret says that women speak in pink. They communicate differently. They want to say everything that's on their mind and in their heart. And so they're talking about this and this and this. And sometimes they gap from here over to here. And that's the way women commonly talk. Well, what's the problem? Well, a woman is married to a man. And men speak a language of respect. When you speak to a man, he wants to hear those words of respect. He wants to hear that in those words and in that language. And when you talk down to a man, whether it be a wife or anyone else, a man's going to have a reaction because he doesn't feel that respect. And so it's interesting that where men are told to love their wives, women are told in Ephesians 5, verse 22, to be respectful. To be in submission, which is a much harder role in the marriage. A much more vulnerable role in the marriage. And I believe that's why Peter is speaking when he speaks in his letter that women are weaker. I believe it means that they're in the more vulnerable position, and men have to take notice of that and respect that, and love the woman that's willing to take on that role. But it's not just that men want that respect more than love, but he says men speak in blue. Men don't want all this and that and this and that. They want just the details. Just tell me what I need to know. And so oftentimes, as we talked about last time, women will, you know, talk about all sorts of things, and in the midst of all sorts of things, here's what she wants her husband to know. Here's what he has to do next week. And the husband's trying to figure all this out, and he just gets right past it because she's saying so many things. He just wants, here's what you need to know. You need to pick up the kids next Thursday at 2 o'clock at school. But that's not the way she communicates it. And so women and men communicate differently. A language of love versus a language of respect. A communication of lots of stuff to just give me the details. And we have to recognize that. And we have to make accommodations for that. And oftentimes, marriages break down And communication breaks down because we're not taking notice of that. The man is demanding that the woman speak respectful, but the woman doesn't want to speak respectful because she doesn't feel love from her husband. And so we call this a good communication cycle. We call it the cycle of love and respect. And here's how it works. His love, and this is kind of light on some of these words, so his love motivates her respect. So if he's able to think, oh, I'm communicating to my wife, she speaks in pink, I'm going to make an accommodation, I'm going to try to speak to her in pink, I'm going to speak to her with love, then what happens? She receives that, and that motivates her to speak in blue, to communicate in respect to him. Then he's motivated to speak to her in love, which motivates her even more to speak in respect. And you have this cycle of love and respect. And that's the good times of marriage. That's the good communication. Dr. Igret says the key to motivating another person is meeting that person's deepest need. And look at this. Especially during conflict. And that's the part we're going to add today. The conflict. Why do conflicts happen in connection to communication? But that's what I want to do as a husband. I want to motivate my wife. And the way I do that is trying to meet her deepest need. Not my deepest need, but her deepest need. And here's the cool thing about that. When I do that, she's motivated then to meet my deepest need. And so I motivate, I get my deepest need fulfilled by motivating her deepest need. It's that great cycle. Well, this is going to work. There has to be some teamwork. There has to be some agreements. And so if we're going to work on this cycle of love and respect in marriage, then what? Well, both spouses have to be willing to work on better communication. And that's one of the things about this series. It's designed for marriages that are just kind of stuck, and yet maybe we're happy we're stuck, or we're just kind of, well, it's going to work for us to be stuck in this bad communication. And that's not what Christians should be. When Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, did Christ get to a church and just say, well, you're kind of lukewarm, but okay, we'll go with that? No, he says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. God did not intend a husband and wife as marriage just to live under the same roof in kind of a mundane type of way, but that they love one another. And they work on these things. And I hope, because you love your spouse, you agree to get married out of that love, that you would be willing to work on better communication. If you're not willing to do that, then this will not work for you at all. Number two, both spouses have to set the goal to have less conflict, especially due to communication. And the part I want to add today is that just as we're being cognizant of this cycle of love and respect, I want to speak to my wife on purpose. I want to be purposeful to, oh, I'm communicating. Okay, I got to do it in pink. I got to think of how I'm going to do this. The wife as well. Well, just as we do that, we want to start to recognize, we're not in that cycle of love and respect. Things are going south. Things are heating up. We are going into this cycle where we're going away from love and respect. And so, we're going to work on this, and here's our goal. We're going to work on this, and we're going to be cognizant that we do have fights. And because of communication, and because we're missing each other, we're going to work on that. That's going to be a goal, to fight less. And we're going to try to do that by having better communication. So that's what's necessary if this is going to work. And if it doesn't,
if we're not cognizant of it, what often happens when communication breaks down, even when a husband and wife are trying to communicate, but they're just missing each other. They're communicating based on what they need, not on what their spouse needs. What often happens is we enter into what he calls the crazy cycle.
So when communication breaks down, there's often a reaction from one or both spouses. So in other words, you're trying to communicate something, wives, to your husband, right? And he doesn't get it. He doesn't remember. And you're like, I always talk to you, and you just don't get it. You don't listen. That's a reaction, right? What's the common reactions? Well, sometimes it's anger. We get angry at our spouse because I'm telling you. And your husband's sitting there going, I don't get what you're saying. It's not making sense to me. And you're like, how is this not making sense to you? I'm talking to you in plain, simple language, so you think. Or sometimes the reaction is confusion. Or sometimes it's insult. And there might be a host of other reactions because you're trying and they're not getting it. They're trying to communicate and you're not getting it. And when that happens, oftentimes there's these type of reactions. And this is not what God intended for a husband and wife to react to one another. But it happens. And here's the point. When it starts to happen, when you start to see that reaction, uh-oh, we are entering the crazy zone. So I want to stop. I don't want to go any further. Uh-oh. Recognize something's breaking down here. Something's happening. And we can't let it continue. You're getting angry with me. So something's not going right. You look confused. I don't want to react to that. That seemed like a backhanded compliment or comment, an insult. So when communication breaks down, there's going to be a reaction. That's what we want to look for so we can say, uh-oh, we're going the wrong direction. So this often, if we don't catch it, leads to the crazy cycle, fighting. When's the last time you had a fight because of communication broke down? Was it last night? Yesterday? Has it been a while? Sometimes when couples have this crazy cycle, they fight. And it gets ugly sometimes. And it can get violent. It can be abusive. And so some couples, it's fighting. But there are other couples, this is their reaction, isolation. Some couples don't fight necessarily. They get upset and then they separate. And even though they're in the same house and, you know, they might have to go to the kitchen and they find themselves in the kitchen at the same time, they don't say a word to one another. They act like the other person's not there. You know, they might make a kind of like a face. So sometimes the crazy cycle looks different depending on how a couple reacts. One might be a fighter, one might be an isolator. And so this person's trying to go and be by themselves, and this spouse wants to, you know, talk it out, and so they're following it. It can get ugly. Or complaining. And so when you start to see these reactions, when you start to see, uh-oh, we're fighting or we're separating, we don't want to be with one another, when we start to see complaining about one another, we have entered the crazy cycle and we've got to recognize that. How many of us have had a moment like this? Okay, so here's the cycle. So in other words, he reacts without love, so that's going to motivate her to, what, react without respect. And so, since she's not respecting me, I'm not going to love her. And I'm not going to communicate that love. And so she's not motivated, so she's not going to communicate with respect. And now we're in the opposite of love and respect. We're heading the opposite direction. We're in the crazy cycle. Ever had one of these moments? Now, she's obviously upset at him, but just look at her face. She's also confused. She is saying, this is not the man I married. Who is this guy? And he is a little more reserved. She's a little more, you know, verbal. But in his mind, he's saying the same thing. This is not the woman I married. Who is this woman? The crazy cycle. This is not what God intended marriage to look like, but it happens. And that's what we want to say. It happens, but we want to, what? Make it happen less? And we want to start recognizing when it happens so we can fix it. The crazy cycle. I find this funny. This must hit too much home, because there's not a whole lot of people laughing, so I don't know.
Let's talk about an ugly marriage moment. We did that last time. What about this love affair of Jacob and Rachel? I mean, Jacob fell in love with Rachel. She was beautiful. Let me ask, how in love was Jacob with Rachel? He worked 14 years to marry her. Now, he had to work 7 to actually have the wedding, but he had to have another 7 years to keep her as a spouse, I guess you put it that way. A man worked 14 years so he could marry this woman. That's love. And so he finally gets to marry her, and we know there's the whole little, you know, deception about Leah and her sister and all that. But finally he gets to marry her, and you would imagine that in the book of Genesis, as you read about Jacob and Rachel, you're going to have these beautiful love scenes like out of a Harlequin novel, right? Or out of some soap opera or some romantic Hallmark movie. You're going to have this love affair and these sweet words between Jacob and Rachel and Rachel and Jacob. But you know what? You don't really get that. The closest you get is where Jacob finally is able to have a child through Rachel. She gives birth to Joseph, and Joseph becomes the favored son. And he favors him because of his love for Rachel. But when they communicate with one another, you don't see these sweet words. In fact, what you often see, and this is maybe the worst case scenario, go to Genesis 30. Genesis 30 and in verse 1, it says, "Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, 'Give me children, or else I die.' Then Jacob's anger," notice, Jacob's anger, he had a reaction. "Jacob's anger burned against Rachel. And he said, 'Am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?'" Have you ever gone up to your husband and said, "Give me children or I die"? I hope not. Those aren't words of love, are they? They're words of jealousy. She is upset. She is jealous at her sister. And so what does she do? She carries it out on her husband. "Give me children or I die." Are those words of respect? Is she communicating respect? No, she's not. And because of that, he has a reaction, which is anger. So then does he say something loving to her to calm her down? No. In essence, he says something that I guess when you step back is kind of true. You know, take this to God. God's the one that closed your womb, not me. But that's not what she wants to hear at that moment, does she? So he's not recognizing what his wife needs, and she's not speaking respect, so he doesn't speak love. It's an ugly marriage moment. I don't know if you remember, I did a lesson on this a couple years ago about Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. And the whole premise of that lesson is that when you look at the life of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, Rachel was beautiful on the outside. That's what he fell in love with. But as the marriage goes on, there is some evidence, some possible evidence, that Rachel shows herself as being beautiful on the outside, not so beautiful on the inside. And that Leah shows herself to be not so attractive on the outside, as the text says, but very beautiful on the inside. And that Jacob starts to fall in love with Leah and falls out of love with Rachel. And probably the big thing is, when Jacob is buried in the tomb of the patriarchs, he's buried with Leah, not with Rachel. Not with his beloved wife, Rachel, but with the woman he never intended to marry, Leah. And it might have been a little breakdown of this communication. So, love and respect. The goal is a mutual understanding of each other's language. Knowing my wife communicates differently. Knowing my husband speaks in blue, not in pink. And so I have to make certain accommodations of that so that we will stay out of the crazy cycle. And so your homework for the next month, when we come back to this, is to start recognizing when you're entering the crazy cycle. And it can be with relationships outside of marriage as well, friendships. And as well, to try to start speaking, husbands, in pink, in love, and wives to speak in blue, in respect. And so, let's look at a few passages as we close that really reflect the very things we're talking about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. What's it talking about? Don't stay angry. Don't stay in that crazy cycle. Work these things out, because the devil loves it when a husband and a wife are angry or isolated or complaining with one another. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Resolve those things. Proverbs 13, verse 2 and 3. From the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. That's a perfect passage, what we're talking about. Using your mouth for purpose. Using your mouth for good. Instead of opening wide your lips and just saying whatever you want, whatever comes out, to your ruin, to violence. Proverbs 15, verse 1 and 2. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Notice it's not harsh words. A harsh word stirs up anger. And the thing about couples, they know the one word that will turn up the heat. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Take out a songbook if you would. As we talk about good communication, God has communicated with us through the Bible.
It is straightforward. It is clear. It is written in a way that women can understand and love. It is understood and obeyed by men with respect.
It leads us all to the same way. God says when it comes to salvation, there is no difference between a man and a woman. They are equal. A woman is precious in the eyes of God. Her soul is just as precious as a man's soul. And so we can be saved the same way, by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing Him, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible describes that as a betrothal, the engagement to Jesus Christ, awaiting the wedding ceremony, which will be His return, and the wedding feast, which will be eternity in heaven with Him. If we can get you betrothed to Jesus Christ this morning, won't you let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.
It's the grandest theme through the ages, it's the grandest theme.